All right, let's talk some basketball with Chris Stewart because Alabama is rolling for sure. Chris, welcome to WNSP. We enjoyed your broadcast last night. Good morning.
Good morning, guys, and thank you for that. I appreciate it. It was, another slugfest. Maybe not as physical a game as the Houston game, but still very entertaining and very tough as well.
Can't Nate Oates get a game up with Purdue maybe in another week just because you're playing so many soft teams?
Yeah, they've fared well against number one, and somebody put that out. I think it was Brian Pasek actually tweeted out that, actually to the Purdue account, or when Purdue was listed as the new number one team on Monday, said, hey, what are y'all doing this week? it'd be a fun matchup. I'll tell you this. Alabama's not afraid to play anybody right now. Lost a key player in Damari Burnett for a little while with a broken wrist. That was announced last night. But they still are a very deep, very talented roster, and as they showed against Memphis, more than capable of beating a very good team.
You go from Michigan State to Connecticut to North Carolina, and you figure, well, maybe we'll get a break, play some cream puffs or marshmallows or teams like that. No. Houston, and then Memphis, and then you have Gonzaga coming up on Saturday. As a broadcaster, yeah. I would love it. I love games like that.
No question. No, you're absolutely right, Lee. You want to do games that matter. And the beauty of basketball, as I've said many times, is that you've got, in college basketball, unlike college football, you can afford to play well, lose, and still not have your ultimate goal of the championship be eliminated. And this is, where I love Nate Oates' philosophy of we're going to play good teams, we're going to play great teams, and we're going to try to find out who and what we are and go from there. So, look, there's a game or two that may not be as challenging, but there aren't many that you'll find in the pre-conference, and then you're obviously at the mercy of whatever your opponent is when you get into league play.
All right. Oh, go ahead, Mark.
Chris Stewart, our guest here on WNSP. Follow him on Twitter, at C Stewart Sports. I'm intrigued, Chris, because one of the things that I love about you on social media is you'll throw out those first half thoughts, right? And so you mentioned that Sears was good, strong first half, and then you said hopefully Miller will get it going. Do you think maybe he was on Twitter at halftime?
No, it's funny. I did say a couple of home games ago, I guess it was, that, something like, I said something not too far from that, but it was maybe more of look for Miller to step it up or something like that. And I think he went for 25 again in the second half of that one. It's been interesting. And I think part of it is so much of the scout is on Brandon Miller for the opposing teams,
yeah,
that they're locked and focused on him at the beginning of the game. And then Mark Sears, who's so strong and capable of going off as he did, has big numbers. You adjust at halftime, and that opens up more opportunities for Brandon and other players. And all he's got to do is see the ball go through the basket once, and then he is capable of exploding, and that's absolutely what he did in the second half last night. He was tremendous, because I think he only had three at halftime, and then he winds up going for 24 in that one. And when Bama needed him, Bama really kind of needed a bucket to keep Memphis at arm's length, he stepped up and did that on multiple occasions.
You know what I like about this team so much, Chris, and you're closer to it than I am for sure. All right, so you bring in a bunch of newcomers. You load up the schedule. Usually when you get a new team in, you kind of, let's go soft to begin with, to get their feet wet, to get to understand the game, to get to know one another and pick up some wins. But he went the opposite route. And I only see this team getting better and better because they're so new to one another. And I don't know about the chemistry yet, but whereas last year's team went south after getting off to a good start, maybe they were looking at the NBA, maybe they were looking at their stats and everything, I can only see this team getting better and better because they're still all kind of fresh.
No, I would completely agree with you. It's a very deep roster. And not everybody is going to get their usual minutes every night. you know, a great example is Darius Miles, who struggled kind of getting on the floor, coming back from injury, but a veteran guy who had not played much at all. He got 13 minutes in that ballgame, and frankly, as I'm looking at the stat sheet now, I thought he had gotten more than that. But he was big for Alabama last night. 7 points. He had 5 rebounds. He had a made three at a time when they really needed it, as I was talking about earlier with Brandon, a shot at a time when Memphis is making a little run and you're keeping them either at bay, or I think actually his three came after Memphis had tied it. Bama may have made a free throw to go up one, and then he hit the three, if I'm remembering it correctly. But he's just an example of what had been, I thought, a really good team effort. Riley Griffin didn't have a very good game last night. He's another freshman, only had 1 point in the contest. But in the game against Houston, I don't know if Alabama wins without him playing as strong and solid as he did in the minutes that he provided off the bench. So multiple weapons, multiple ways of beating you, and nobody that seems to care who gets the glory. It's about this team. To your point as well, Brandon Miller goes for 24. He's clearly the best player on this team, and he's one of the best in America. But the two games that Alabama has won against the number one ranked team of the country, he didn't play his best game. He did not score from the field, I don't believe, on Saturday at Houston, but he makes 6 free throws in the final minute to help you win that ball game. He didn't have a great game, was in foul trouble against North Carolina, and he had 14 points, albeit only, you know, in 4 overtimes, but he had some key possessions, key buckets at key times. So when you can win without a player of his magnitude being at his best, I think it speaks volumes to who your team as a whole happens to be.
So, Chris, Memphis just kind of kept coming, man. Every time it got to about 5, 7, 9, you're like, all right, they've got the momentum. You just get a dunk or whatever. You're like, this is over. And they just kept coming. Three-pointers were just a disaster for Memphis last night. They hit that first one with a second left. Right, exactly. And DeAndre Williams, I think, fouled out. I know Alabama lost. I think Clowney fouled out. But but man, they just keep coming at you. And Kendrick Davis was everything you thought he'd be and more.
No, 30 points for Davis. He made all 8 of his free throws, but he did go 0-for-4 from 3. And they were 1-for-12. I don't know if I've ever seen that, where a team doesn't make a 3 for the entire game until there's less than a second to go in regulation. You know, I mean, you see teams hit one late, maybe it's their first one, and even, you know, crazy stuff on a game winner. But with .4, and thankfully there wasn't enough time for them to get a steal and get a bucket that could have tied it. But it was a heck of a part of that is just flat out missing. But a big part of it is the defense that Alabama plays. And I know it's kind of hard to talk defense in a game where you give up 88 points, but I thought Alabama did a really good job against them, and the field goal percentages would indicate that. I mean, you hold them to 43 total from the field and 8% from the arc. You're doing a pretty nice job.
And then I thought the last 0.4 seconds was a little anticlimactic. So they get the three, they call a timeout, they're drawing something up. Everybody's talking about, well, maybe you force them into a 5-second counter, or they throw the ball out of bounds, and they just kind of break towards the ball, and Alabama throws it in, and nobody does anything. It's over. It was just like, what are we doing? Yeah. What are we doing here?
I was grateful that was the case, because I didn't want any more drama. I was ready to get the heck out of there. And thankfully, Alabama, you know, did get the ball in bounds. I think that was the whole key. Is if you get it in, you know it's over, because .4 was not going to be enough for them to catch and shoot, even really, if it was anything inside the 3-point line. And Brian pointed that out on the broadcast, and I think Alabama clearly talked about it. That was one of those rare instances. You know, if it's 2 points or less, you're telling your team, don't throw it out of bounds, but throw it to the other end of the floor. Whatever you do, don't throw it in underneath your own basket. I mean, how many times have we been taught that from the time we started playing the game? Don't throw it in under your own basket. And this team, you know, they were smart enough. Anything that was thrown in inside the three-point line wasn't going to get you beat, because as soon as the ball's touched, the clock's going to start. There's no time for a catch, a pass out to the three-point line and a make. So I think that was, you know, once Alabama had somebody slip to the basketball, the inbounder, Memphis realized, we've blown our shot.
Chris, so obviously we're looking forward to the Gonzaga-Alabama game, and of course getting a chance to see Timmy, who's been playing for, what, 8-9 years now, but that's beside the point. But I thought, since you do football for Alabama, maybe you'd like to weigh in with a thought or two about the passing of Mike Leach. We've been devoting a lot of the show to that. I don't know if you've run across him personally, one-on-ones or just interviews, or but you did do, you know, Alabama-Mississippi State this year, so maybe a thought or two there.
You know, Alabama always had success against his teams, but it wasn't because they weren't good, and it wasn't a case where Alabama wasn't concerned about them. I think there was tremendous focus put on those games because of the respect that people had for how innovative he was, what he could create. And if I'm not mistaken, was he not the OC for Hal Mumme when Kentucky beat Alabama 25 years ago, like that, up in Lexington?
We actually asked Hal Mumme about that earlier today. Yes, indeed, he was.
Yeah, I thought that was the case. And he was a different guy. But, my thoughts initially went, and I reached out to Neil Price and Matt Wyatt and guys that I know that work with him in Mississippi State. And I know they really liked him and respect him. He treated them well. Neil would laugh. This was before we even got towards the end of the year. He goes, I got to, Coach, I'm sorry, but I do have to ask you a football question. It is your football show. We got to get at least one in that has to do with football. And it's, we had very different approaches. Coach Saban will talk about other things on occasion. You got to pick your times and your spots, and those Thursday night radio shows are a great place to do that. But he's so focused on the task at hand that you don't ever stray far from it. If you want something compelling, from Mike Leach, when you did his shows, you did his interviews, you probably had to go something other than football. And it wasn't that he didn't care. From everybody that I know that worked with him and taught with him, he loved the game. He was obviously very, very good at it. But he really loved to think outside of just the between the lines in football. And I think it made him an incredibly unique individual to be able to have that level of success. And, it sounds a little strange, but to be normal. To talk about things that people outside of football might talk about, and yet that was considered to be odd and quirky as it relates to football. So, again, from everything that I've ever heard from people who worked with him and knew him well, good guy who, really cared about trying to make Mississippi State the best it could be, but he went to the beat of his own drummer. There was no doubt about that, and it's sad to see anybody go early, but especially in the manner that it took place.
Chris, thank you so much for jumping aboard after a late night last night. We really do appreciate it, and have a great week. We'll do it again soon.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
Chris Stewart, ladies and gentlemen.